Thank you. It is a real joy and blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be here another Sunday morning. We're thankful for the Lord's mercy. We thank you for His saving grace, His keeping power. Appreciate Him for having mercy upon me as a sinner and giving me, again, I'll say, the free gift of eternal life. Salvation is free. Most folk can't understand it, and they think they've got to do something spectacular or good to accept or to receive this wonderful gift. But the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing to boast about on our behalf. If we boast, it'll have to be in Him being crucified and bearing our sins in His own body, and dying in our place and taking our place and bringing eternal salvation and redemption through His blood. The Bible said outside the shedding of His blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's not what you do, it's what He's done at Calvary. He was delivered for offenses and raised again for our justification. If you want to be justified and made just in the sight of God Almighty, it'll absolutely and positively be through the blood of His cross. And outside the shedding of His blood, no redemption, no salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation's free, paid for in full. If you get to heaven, you'll have to come with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. You'll have to call on Him and beloved to have mercy upon you, a sinner, not tongue in cheek, mind and mouth, but in heart. You really got to want to be saved. You got to realize you're a sinner. You realize you're lost and on your way to hell. You can't help nor save yourself. But if you'll accept what He done at Calvary, His atoning blood, paying the supreme price, the ultimate price for your sins. Again, He that knew no sin became sin for you and I, that might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So when you get saved, it makes a difference. I'll guarantee it does. If there's no difference in your life, then you've never been saved. The Bible said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, they're new creatures. Old things pass away, and all things become new to you when you're born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Beloved, when you get saved, you'll know it. The Bible said, you know, you pass from death unto life. God gives you love for the brethren. He gives you love for the blessed book. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And then He gives you the love for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We delight in the law of God. We don't have any confidence in our rotten flesh. If you're saved, we want to meditate both day and night. We might be like a tree that's planted by the water. We might be able to bring forth fruit in due season. Every child of God has been saved by the grace of God has an obligation, responsibility, and a duty to get on the highways, the byways, the hedges, and compel them to come in. The world needs help. They need somebody that's real, somebody that knows Jesus in a real way, in a personal way, who's had their sins forgiven and placed under His blood. Outside the shedding of His blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you try to get to heaven by being good or doing good, beloved, you're going to miss heaven. You're going to wind up dying in your sins and going straight to hell. You can't atone for your sins. There's nothing you can do to obtain this great salvation, nor is anything you have to do. It was already done. It's already been done at Calvary. When He died and gave up the ghost, He rent the veil from top to bottom. I'm talking about the separated, the holy place from the holiest of holies. When he died, the veil rent from top to bottom, signifying the way had been made inside the holiest of holies. Only the high priest went once a year, not without blood, first for his own sin, then the sin of the people, and he couldn't sit down. He went and ministered, sprinkled everything inside the holiest of holies with the blood. Blood, the sacrificial offering was to be made. Came in, and of course, when he finished, he came out. That was the day of atonement. Of course, he was, it was a picture, a type of Christ. He'd have to come and bring his own blood. He only entered one time inside the veil because he didn't have any sin. He didn't know sin, became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When He, of course, died and gave up the ghost, that veil that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies rent from top to bottom, signifying and making that He made the way inside that by the new and the living way which He that Jesus has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. He that knew no sin, thank God, became sin for you and I, that might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So, joining up in the church and being baptized in a watery grave and turning over a new leaf and put on a case of new betters and studying your Bible, trying to read it and trying to start praying, and none of that will justify you, beloved. None of that whatsoever could bring eternal salvation, eternal redemption. It's only through what He's done. These things are characteristics, if it's really God in you, motivating you. These are characteristics of a new creature. When you get saved, He puts a desire in your heart to want to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a work that needeth not be ashamed, right in the vital word of truth. And there's a difference in reading and studying. You read over it, and I said before, I read it a few times, and I go back and I study, or I meditate on what I've read. I think on it, and I'll remind you, it's spiritually given, it must be spiritually discerned. The carnal mind, the natural man, the carnal man, or the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they in the flesh cannot please God. That is the unsaved. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The beloved, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the reason you need to be under somebody who's really been born again. Somebody who has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in them. And we've got so many, God have mercy, flooding what's supposed to be churches, and they're not a thing in the world but a community clubhouse. And now those folks standing in the pulpit, they're not saved. They're not saved. They're just hirelings. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They're dumb dogs that can't bark. They've never experienced a new birth. They don't know Him in reality. They talk about Him. They supposedly preach about Him. But it's not real. He said the flesh of prophets, you know, it's the spirit that quickens and makes alive, and their preaching is void, it's vain. It's not going to reach the heart, the soul. And of course, you hear it with the mind. It reaches the intellect of the mind, and they paint a pretty picture. They tell a little joke to humor up everybody, and they got those sermons all pinned out and rolled out, and these great big titles and headings, and of course, it's supposed to be impressive. It don't help anybody. The Bible said without the Spirit of God, nobody's going to be able to help anybody else. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I realize that, beloved. Furthermore, I don't want to try to do anything without Him. I'm glad I'm just a wretched sinner saved by the grace of God. I am what little bit I am, only by God's marvelous, amazing grace. If you get to heaven, you've got to experience the new birth. Jesus said it, that'll settle it. But He talked to a man that was a good man, I believe, so far as the flesh was concerned, with good desires and wanted to do right things and tried to uphold the law and keep the law because he was guilty before God as a sinner. But he was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He's one of the elders of the Jews. His name was Nicodemus, and he knew he was lacking something. He was religious. He defended the Lord Jesus on occasion and said, wait a minute, said that our law, does our law condemn a man who had a chance to hear him? And of course, they belittled him over that, but he came to Jesus by night. Right away, the Lord got right down to what he needed. He said, Nicodemus, verily, surely, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus pondered over it. He said, listen, I'm an old man. How in the world am I going to get back in my mother's womb and be born again? He said, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a heavenly birth, a spiritual birth. You've got to be born of water, all right? That's of the flesh. That's a water birth and of the Spirit of God. You must be born again. You've experienced the fleshly birth, the water birth, he said, but then you've got to be born a second time, and your nature, divine nature, must be born in you. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And of course, I believe He did get saved because He came with Joseph from Arimathea, and when He came to beg the body from Pontius Pilate, and he brought special spices and things to anoint His body, I believe He got converted. He came to the right source. He came to the head of the church, the head of the body, the Lord Jesus, and He made Himself known to him and told him what he needed. And I believe he accepted that, received that, and he pondered over it, meditated over it, and thought about it. He realized that he was lacking, that he was missing on something. He was lacking on the inside. But of course he made, I believe, in his peace calling and election, sure got saved and came with another one of the elders, and he was a saved man. They come to beg the body of Jesus. Of course it was put to them, and they laid him in a tomb, a cave where no man ever yet laid. And of course they placed his body there. And of course, and after 3 days and three nights, he got up from the grave. And of course the scripture said, he ever liveth. Thank God I'm that he's eternally alive, and he's in his proper place, his fitted place. He's on the right hand of the Father in heaven itself, on the real mercy seat, sitting there, beloved, sit on the right hand of the Father, interceding the saints according to the will of God. Can be judged, thank God, with the feet of our infirmities, all points, tempted we are, yet without sin. That's why he's a Savior. The rest of us are sinners. By birth, we're sinners. We're shaped in iniquity and born in sin. not a just man, not a righteous man, but all the faith here, all we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord has laid the iniquities all upon him, and by his stripes only can you be healed. He's the healing balm, he's the chief physician. And beloved, if you get to heaven, you'll have to be born a second time. That is, God, or Christ has got to be born in you, beloved. He's got to get alive in you. He won't make, he won't force you, but he'll invite you to speak peace to you. And beloved, when you get saved, I'll guarantee you, you'll know it. You can't be saved and not know it. The Bible said you know you pass from death unto life. God gives you love for the brethren. He gives you love for the blessed book. And then he gives you love for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. These are naturals. These things just come out automatically when you get saved. They're forfeited person. Be in Christ. They're new creatures. Old things pass away. All things become new to you when you get saved. Now, if you hadn't had this transformation, this conversion from sin to salvation, loving, you need to get a good dose, a good taste. You need to be born again. I'm talking to you. Listen to me. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about feeling better or trying to do good or being baptized in the watery grave. Beloved, that's not going to justify you. If you depend on what you've done, you're going straight to hell. It's what he's done, what he wants to do in you. You've got to let him in you. The Bible said, open up the everlasting doors of your heart, and the King of glory will come in. He won't force you. He won't make you. But he'll invite you. He'll give an invitation, like he sent out the invitation of those to come to the wedding. Of course, they thought they had more important things to do. He said, all right, let them go the way, then go out anywhere, highway, the byway, the edges, and compel them to come in. Of course, he's given an invitation today. He doesn't force you, nor make it. It's volunteer. You've got to want him above life itself. You simply got to repent of your sin. Real repentance means a broke heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible said that's a sacrifice that God cannot and will not despise. His sacrifice is a broke heart and a contrite spirit. I'm talking about sorrowful that you sin against God, giving your will over the will of God, and asking God to have mercy upon you, a sinner, and accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. When you do that, I guarantee you it's sealed, it's settled. You don't have to worry about ever worry about loving being undone. You can't save yourself, you can't keep yourself. Saved by the grace of God, kept by the power of God, and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God unto, the Bible said, the day of redemption. When he comes back after his purchased possession, after his price, after his body, when he comes back after his church, I'm looking forward to his glorious appearing, the great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming. I don't know the day nor the hour. No, neither does anybody else. Only the Father knows. And when that day comes, he'll come. He'll be right on time, beloved. God has a time for everything in heaven, purpose and a time for everything in heaven. Beloved, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, time for you to get saved, a time you won't be able to get saved. You need to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Come and reason together, the Lord said, and though your sin be scarlet, wash as white as snow, they'll be red like crimson, they'll be made as wool. He'll forgive you and put your sins in his forgiveness, never be brought to his remembrance anymore. Set salvation free. Come while you can. Get in while the door's open. God have mercy upon you. Repent of your sins, and he'll save you just like you are today. I mean right now, he'll save you if you'll call on him and get broken contrite. See, my time's gone. They're right to it. Pray for us. And God bless you. Is our prayer in his name. Amen.